Blog Talk Radio.
What did we actually know about Jesus Christ the man? What we don't find is this person who appears as some sort of spectre within that historical tableau called Jesus. He doesn't have a mark at all. Now that is a dilemma for those who believe in him, because on the one hand, he supposedly overturned the world. It turned the world upside down and triggered off this massive movement. But on the other hand, he leaves no trace in the historical record. It should be said, although it's kept from the believing millions, theologians have cast doubts on the official story for more than 100 years. There used to be a huge amount of evidence, historical evidence, for Jesus. There was evidence of the cross, there was evidence of the nails that he was held to the cross with. You know, now, why is it that this sort of evidence is no longer presented as evidence of Jesus? It worked for hundreds of years. Well, of course, we know the answer. It was all fraudulent. It was all manufactured by the church to encourage belief in their fairy story. Now, that has all now been whittled away, apart from certain backwaters. The Gospels are not analogous to history, they are analogous to historical fiction. In other words, a drama has been inserted into an historical setting. The emphasis is totally different. It's an unreal drama. If you think about the Gospels, they are almost primarily concerned with the last week of Jesus' life, the Passion. You know, it takes up most of the material. It is simply a drama inserted into a more or less realistic historical background. What I think we can say regarding the Gospels is that they show a decided pro-Roman bias. Let's paint the scene then. Rome is the great and emerging imperial power. It colonized the East as the Eastern Empire of Greece declined. In the areas it took over, it used, in the first phase, client kings. In other words, it found those members of the local aristocracy that would collaborate with Rome, and they would happily do so because Rome preserved their position. So the classic example of it is, of course, the Herodian family. Herod was a Roman puppet, but Herod ruled his own provinces in his own way and with a rod of iron. Religion was very important in the Roman world. Although they had a secular dimension to their life, religion was all pervasive in the sense that gods and their shrines were everywhere. There was no question in the minds of nearly everybody at that time that there were gods. Gods made their presence felt all the time, whether it be in earthquakes or thunderstorms, in diseases and so on. Gods were ever present. The one thing you had to do with a god was keep them on your side. You made a sacrifice. You hoped that their capricious behavior wouldn't fall badly on you. Religion also was very tolerant in the Roman system. The Romans and all polytheists embraced the idea that that divinity was divided, that there were gods of many different descriptions. When the Romans conquered a province, they didn't try and annihilate their religion. They didn't insist that they adopt Rome's religion. They merely took that religion into their system. They merely assimilated it, allowing that what you call a god by one name, we call by another name. And they had no problem with that. If you think of the most impressive temple that stands in Rome, the Pantheon, it was the temple to all the gods. They had no exclusivity about it. You had to keep all the gods, or as many of them as you could, on your side. Now, the only time that Rome seems to have had a problem are the two ends of the empire, with the Druids in Britain and the Jews in Palestine. You know, that's where the Rome came against oppositional religions. Now, with the Druids, they just annihilated the Druids. They destroyed their shrines and ended any. It probably existed underground, but essentially they erased that religion. Now, this was the big problem for Judaism when it had fell foul of Rome as a result of not one but three rebellions. You know, things Jewish were not viewed favourably. And that's why here is a big big kickstart for Christianity moving further into the Roman world. Now, where does that originate? It originates in the happy example for the Jews of resisting and ultimately expelling the Greeks. The Greeks had run the area before the Romans arrived, and under a group of renegade priests, there was a rebellion known as the Maccabee Rebellion. In the Maccabean Wars, the Greeks were expelled, and this gave a type, an anticipation of how, under the Roman period, also someone could come along, priest come king come prophet, who would rescue the Jews again. That's where the basis of the messianic prophecies come from. A military leader, a human person, not a God-man, but a human who would lead the Jews to triumph. So their interpretation of Messiah was very much in that traditional Maccabean sense of someone who would be a king and a military leader who would throw out the oppressors. The Christian version of that same story is, of course, very different. It's a collaborationist sort of Messiah.
Right where you got it. You're listening to the Truth Tuesday Show with your host, Akeem L.
Peace, God. What's up?
Hey, peace, God. How you doing?
Everything all right?
Yeah. How about yourself?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. Can't complain.
Hey, that's what I'm talking
about. I'm about to head up your way in a few minutes.
Oh, that's peace, man. Yeah,
I got to come to Columbia and take care of some stuff. And, you know how that go.
Yeah.
So how's everything going on with you?
Yeah, man, everything is going good. You know, it's going to work. I've been getting a lot of feedback from the viewers. A lot of them been calling in.
Well, that's good.
It's good to hear that they listening.
Right.
So,
that's the key.
You know,
they listening. That is the key.
Yeah.
You know, people move at their own pace, you know. Move at their own pace.
Yeah, you know, everybody want wellness. So that's a positive thing, you know. Yeah, man. It's funny. It's like they run out of things to distract people with, you know. It's so much stuff that we coming out, because, like, you know, they going on about, I don't know, nobody's participating in the habits that they be throwing, you know, they be sensationalizing on the radio, it's almost like a lot of people don't care about a lot of this stuff. But they try to make us care. You know? A lot of stuff, I'm like, I don't know nobody that's doing that. Or get, you know, just this general things. You know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like either people are watching the game or they not. I don't know nobody that's boycotting the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they either watching it or they ain't watching it. But they want to keep us polarized and being glued on things. You know? And then all that do is
right.
take us away from the whole thing. You know?
Right.
It just a trip. You know?
Right.
But you know, at the same time, I see a lot of people that's actually are becoming more conscious. They're like, it be people that be calling in, and you got a lot of young viewers, too. You got a lot of young viewers.
You got a lot of what?
Young viewers.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, dang, these young people, they calling. I'm doing readings for them, and they getting urges. Like, that's real impressive. You know.
Right.
I mean, to have so many. And I'm knowing they're young because when I'm doing you know, I like to see the people age and to see it, you know, look at who they are. And I'm like, oh, these are young people. And then it's just dawned on me. I'm like, man, nobody paying this stuff no attention.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for when you got young people talking about their health, you know, I'm talking, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's a good bit of that. You know, that's a lot of 20-year-olds. You know, when I was in my 20s,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was my. But I didn't think about my health. And some of the things
right.
I was talking to them about, I didn't even think about.
Right.
You know? And it show you a difference in the timing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
What the timing has done, you know, and so, you know, one thing that, you know, a lot of people are interested in their health, but a lot of these names for diseases, I think that it's
mm-hmm.
over. I think it's an over. That to me, that's a marketing strategy. Because,
right.
you know, a lot of my clients come in and they be like, well, you know, I have this. I have diabetes. I have high blood pressure. You take them like, there's all these different diseases. And, you know, the diseases, the name of the diseases are actually just, you know, they're not as important to why your body out of balance. Because, see, once you identify with a disease and say, you know, I have this.
You call it.
You call
it down.
Yeah, and it prevents. It prevents. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like that you're not going to heal for one. Because you're looking at
mm-hmm.
it as it's a lifelong condition when, you know, it's a temporary state.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times once you come down with something, that's and you have all the symptoms and the pain, which is the acute phase. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can get rid of it like quicker then. Then when you don't make the changes
mm-hmm.
or you start taking prescription drugs, it becomes a chronic thing, a thing that's going to
mm-hmm.
last for an extended period of time, you know.
Right.
And really, just by working on the particular imbalance, you know, because I can have 1,000 people with 1,000 so-called diseases, but they mm-hmm. all come from imbalances in the body. Okay? So,
mm-hmm.
one area that you know, is considered real, the disease is a little more serious, is when certain organs are malfunctioning. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them that you don't want to see is when your liver is started bothering you. You know, it's interesting that the word liver, most of the word is liver.
Uh-huh.
It's really interesting. You know, one of my teachers used to tell me that when people used to beat people, you know, they used to ask them, in foreign countries, how is your liver? You know, because mm-hmm. it's so fundamental to the health of your body. You know, and once you start having issues in that area, it becomes challenging, you know, to change it around. Okay? So, you know, we gotta make sure that we take better care of these organs. And everybody we work with, they might come into one situation. We don't target particular organs, but we work with the whole body. And that's what holistic healing is. We deal with the mind, body, and soul. Now, you know, the liver is like, actually, it's like the largest internal organ inside the body.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, it's actually a gland, because glands secrete and absorb fluid. The liver has that capability. You know, it's one of the organs that has so many functions, over 400 functions, 500 functions per week for women. You know, a lot of times I have people that come in and they think there's something wrong with their kidney. There's actually something wrong with their liver. You know, a lot of times the back pains that people feel are a liver pain. It ain't always the kidneys or the back. You see?
Right.
So, one thing that I see with a lot of people as they get older, and I can see a lot of my clients when they come in, and I see that a lot of people's livers are stressed, because you can see when you look at their face, you can see imbalances, in particular in the head region, in between the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a lot of people with lines in between the eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's a sign that the liver is starting to degenerate, and they look like frown lines. And mm-hmm. interestingly, when you hold a lot of anger, it affects your liver. You know,
mm-hmm.
and we started seeing this with people more when they over 40, because they've been mad at somebody for a long time,
mm-hmm.
or they didn't step away for a long time. You know, and so like most people got this thing, we believe that, you know, your eyes, you know, is. That's also a symptom when your liver is out of balance. But you know, you start degenerating, you start seeing dark spots on the bottom of your hands and your feet. You know,
they're
not age spots. They spots from the liver being out of balance. So yeah, we have to make sure that we be happy.
I had seen him. He went to my class, and you know they having a real tough time. You know, with the corrosion of the liver, and it's to the point it's a real bad thing, because a lot of times when you have a swollen stomach, with pushing the stomach out of your liver is enlarged or inflamed.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And so, it's happening that somebody can have so much, your liver been bothered so long and so much hard in the liver that your stomach, your abdomen just start pulling
with fluid.
You know, mm-hmm. You start just swelling up with sugar. You know, so you have to do things.
So that's a bad sign.
It's like a sign of advanced
organ failure. And have like really good products for the liver.
Like
we have
liver forming. That you know now, in this situation. With liver, you're going to have to use it more than, you know, you have to use it at least twice a day, okay? But when you got this type of fluid build up in your body, you can use things like, you know, in the morning you take, you soak fenugreek seeds overnight, they're going to swell, and then you drink the liquid from the fenugreek. That'll take that swelling down. Because usually when you start getting this organ failure, you're getting close to the end, you know. And the first thing we're going to try to recommend is the organ transplant, which is
not a great idea. Not to mention that your
liver regenerates in 3 months. You get a new liver every 3 months.
In a healthy person, if you just
leave a little bit of their liver,
that's one organ that will regenerate and go all the way back within 3 months.
It can take a lot of
stress
and a lot of
beating. And so when I see earlier, it's pretty serious when you get like that.
You can also,
there's a lot of things you do, but I'm just naming something that you can do. People do themselves, because I know people know family members that have liver failure.
You could take bitter melon, the fruit, and juice it. And that'll clear
that fluid off your abdomen. Because if you don't do it, you're going to be in and out of the hospital.
And they actually just buy your time, drain you, and you know, wait for the inevitable, where you can actually be doing things to regenerate your liver. You have to get past what you're holding on to as far as on the anger level and be at peace with the person. You know?
Is it really that serious what you're angry about?
The first thing, a lot of people are going to say,
some people don't realize some of their feelings, then when you start talking to them and start asking them questions, you start realizing, and then they realize that they've been angry about something for a long time, and
you've been holding on to something so long, you don't even realize you've been holding on to.
Right.
So, you know,
There's a lot of herbs that you can take.
That's excellent for the liver.
You know, each type of herb has a different affinity. Because, you know, a lot of people are familiar with milk thistle, which is actually good.
When you're taking a lot of synthetic poison in your body,
but so you actually need a broad spectrum. You know, to help with your liver. There's different types of herbs that are good for the liver.
you know. I really love barberry and the dandelion root and argan grape, the yellow dock, which is really good for the liver. Not to mention it's loaded with iron because the liver needs a lot of iron, you know. Now when you got like those plants are really great. You know, just the name of two of them. Sometimes you have pain when you live, and we use more plants like lobelia and wild yam and trout bark, blue vervain. Really amazing for those liver pains, you know. Or if you got a lot of that inflammation and scar tissue, that helps with that, you know. We use some bayberry and bulldoze and fennel to help with, you know, with that gas retain. And those bees know the blood vessels that appear to be, you know, that inflammation. Now, what you'll find is everybody not going to have issues with their liver. But one thing you're going to find in particular, when you look at people's chart in regard to the liver, you're going to notice that a lot of people that have these problems, it's going to be associated with certain areas in your chart. Usually, when you're looking at people's charts, you're going to see that there's other aspects of your child's chart that show that it's going to be an issue. Because some people are born with inherent weaknesses in the body. Okay? So you're going to find that like in the, the fifth and the sixth house. And I've seen it in the eighth and the twelfth house, but in particular the fifth and the sixth house. You're going to see that you got squares, Saturn, in those areas. You're going to have some issues in your liver. Not to mention that, you know, it's ruled by Jupiter. That's why you see it so much in the with Sagittarians and Virgos and Leos with issues with their liver. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so with that saying, you always use yellow crystals, because we also know that if your solar plexus chakra is not spinning properly, you know, because you know these are vortexes of light, okay? If it's spinning kind of clockwise, we can use crystals to energetically heal that part of the body. You see? A lot of times our audience, our chakra energy stand backward. And you know, you have to use those crystals, and I really love those yellow crystals, and surprisingly, most of the people energy that they lose is being robbed from that region anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we like to use, and you also know that a lot of these, the herbs that you use for the liver tend to have a lot. Even when you boil them, they tend to be yellow. Not just the flowers. They tend to have a yellowish tint
And the lemon, I know some people don't do, but the lemon is really good for your liver, especially when you combine
you
it with
lemon?
Some yeah, lemon.
What
mm-hmm.
you say was
yeah, lemon.
Lemon? Okay.
Huh? Yeah.
I said, okay, yeah. I was trying to hear what you were saying.
Yeah, man. The lemon is actually an amazing plant. You can do a lot with the lemon by itself. You know, I've heard Dr. Shaver speak against the lemon. I'm sure you got his reason why. I haven't found his reason why, because the first thing people gonna say, you know, he says that that it's a hybrid plant. I grew up on a farm. Really, all of the stuff that we eat is hybrid.
You said you grew up on a farm?
I grew up on a farm. I know agriculture. You know, everything that we eat has been tampered with.
Right.
And
I would agree with that.
Our ancestors did it. That's the whole basis of agriculture.
Oh, we can't grow stuff, you know, we're not going to be able to produce it at that level. Now, it's different things you can do that's way insane.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the reason why ancestors did a lot of things. See, I really looked at the history of the world, and you got history as it's taught, and then you got the undocumented history, which is way more advanced and is actually
right.
amazing.
So
when you look at, I mean,
what you saying right
you know,
here about the undocumented history, or I would say it was documented. It's just hidden.
Right.
You know, it's hidden from us.
Yeah.
You're not going to get.
You sent me some good stuff too. You sent me some real good stuff a few years back. They had some good information on, you know, what you said now, the undocumented history. And it's the reason why the plants and different things were tampered with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are hybrids. We ain't
yep.
the same people that was created. Like, you know, the people that was... The people, you know, we're not the same. People is not the same. Energy, the planet is always changing. It's, you know.
Well, we look at, when we look at history of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
We look right. only on the level of this planet, you know, this planetary
mm-hmm.
history, the Earth history. But people
right.
don't know that the Earth was part of another planet. That broke off, or
mm-hmm.
it didn't break. Well, they had a war. It was part of another planet, and the bigger piece of this rock broke, which is we're on a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put a piece of another planet, and they came down
mm-hmm.
here and they terraformed it. You know, they made it livable
mm-hmm.
again. But in that, they had to. There was nothing living on the planet on this rock. You know, when it broke apart. So they
right.
had to bring the forms, the life forms here. You see?
mm-hmm.
So nothing on this planet is really from this planet. Well, I mean, technically they are. When you read the story, when you understand what the story
right.
is saying, they had to, it was part of a bigger planet. It broke off, and they saved what they could. And then they, brought life back after they finished their wars. The Bible told you the wars, what wars took place. They
That's
broke
right.
down. The one where Michael
mm-hmm.
and all the angels was fighting.
Yeah, from
and
yes.
they said, here's the thing. They said the great dragon fell to the earth. But mm-hmm. people think of the dragon as this devil that came around. But the dragon was this huge spaceship that was almost big as the planet. Mm-hmm. And when it hit the planet, it broke it in part. So that's why you have Orion's belt and all of that. Saturn's rings come from that planet. And we're the bigger piece mm-hmm. that did not go into the sun. So they came and they terraformed it and they brought the beings down. They told you that we was hybrids because what did it say? It said, let us make man in our image. So that indicates mm-hmm. that there was a beast here that somewhat man-like quality, had man-like qualities, but they had to bring its intelligence level up, had to educate it. You see? But people ain't ready for that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They ain't ready for that, history.
It's really deep. Because, man, you got to give me some real good stuff, man. And I'm like, man, this is shit. Man, I mean, it's so much. And so, you know, man, I mean, you so mm-hmm. on point. And that's why I'm saying that this lemon, there's a lot you can do with it just by itself.
Uh-huh.
And you know, a lot of people gonna miss out if they're like, oh, you know, man, come on. It's a hybrid. That plant is amazing. So, if you mix it with some olive oil,
right?
Yeah, it really increases the effect of the function and other levels. You see,
mm-hmm.
and it helps to regenerate. You know, it really helps.
Now, let me ask you about lemon. I got a question to you about lemon. When I went to Costa Rica,
mm-hmm.
their lemons were green. And it tastes just like the lemons here, the
mm-hmm.
yellow ones. They look like limes, but they were lemons. And the guy said, well, those are lemons. I said, because it tastes just like a lemon now. It didn't, you know, they were saying it was lemon, but, I'm used to seeing lemons as yellow, but I'm wondering if the natural color of a lemon is green, not yellow.
Yeah, and that's why Dr. Sabi was saying he talks a lot about the lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talks a lot about the lies. But I find a much more pronounced effect when you use the lemon. You know. I've tried the lime. The effect is pronounced. You know.
Right.
But I like our lime juice taste. And so that's what he referred to. And they were much smaller. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you look at nature, you're gonna see variations of all types of plants, and as a scientist you're gonna look at one that you find more desirable.
Right.
And so you just bring that characteristic out each time. And this is the desired effect you want. You know. And a lot of the stuff that the changes that made these plants, most of them were done by ancestors. Believe it or not.
Right.
You know, they were all this shit, man. Like, most of this stuff, when you talking about, we ain't talking about, like, in the last, you know, 50 years, but we talking about 90% of what you seen in your ancestors do.
Mm-hmm.
You know. They did that.
Right.
You know?
Hey, did you ever read something called the Terra Papers? T-E-R-R-A Papers?
Nah.
I'm going to send it to you because That's the one we're talking about, the history of this planet and basically the history of the galaxies. How, you know, when they had to save the planet, they created a garden. They created a garden. They called it it was like a greenhouse, and it was just one part of the planet while it was making it spread out. And they had the guy, one of the sons was the, they called him a genesis scientist. So he knew how to reanimate, create, and gene splice. So this old gene splice has been going on for billions of years. And war broke out, and one of the grandsons got mad. We know of him, Methuselah. But back then, his name was called Marduk. So he got rid of all of the ancient knowledge and made himself God. And back then, he was called Ra, the sun god.
Wow.
He went around the planet getting rid of all of the knowledge of the ancient, the universe, and they built up electronic towers around the world to block out transmissions from coming in so that we would know our real history. So basically, you see Men in Black, they use that red light to make you forget stuff. Basically, that's technically what it's saying. History and told them a new history.
I heard that. The talking a little bit about what you're saying. Hello?
Hello? Hello, hello? Hello? Hello?